Welcome to Words to Live By, a podcast series hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Each week, we will share some of the wit and wisdom of Ronald Reagan. In essence, Words to Live By, made up of radio addresses and speeches he delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. Okay, so here's a question for you. Listen carefully. Who was born in France in 1886, so today she'd be 136, who needed reconstructive surgery, who had a rusted skeleton along with disintegrating skin, and your final clue, who had crumbling crown rays? The answer is the Statue of Liberty. She was designed by sculptor Frederick Auguste Bartholdi and built by Gustave Eiffel as a gift to the United States from France. She arrived in 1885 on our shores in pieces after floating across the Atlantic in 214 crates. All the pieces were assembled on Liberty Island the following year. But by 1984, after welcoming immigrants to New York for almost 100 years, she was in bad shape. In this podcast, we'll learn about how President Reagan in May 1982, 40 years ago, took action to return Lady Liberty to pristine condition. He called upon Lee Iacocca to create the Statue of Liberty Ellis Island Foundation to raise the funds necessary for the restoration. And by the 4th of July, 1986, she was ready for her debut. In the second half of this podcast, we'll focus on the final result. But first, let's listen to the president's inspiring remarks.
Good afternoon. And today we're launching, as you well know, a commission whose task will be the rehabilitation of one of our most cherished symbols of liberty. Much has been said over the years about the diversity of the American people and the vitality and resilience of the American character. Well, that character isn't centered around any one religious denomination, for in our country there are many religions. Everyone has a right to worship God as he or she chooses. It isn't based on any one ethnic group or race, for our people come in all shades and shapes, and we remain dedicated to the proposition that all of them are created equal. I've found out in my present capacity now that I love to tell jokes now and then, but I almost restricted to Irish jokes. I can't stray for fear of some misunderstanding. But our national character is based on a common identity with a single ideal, a shared value that overcomes our differences and unites us as a people. What has made us a nation is our love of liberty and our realization that we're part of a great historic venture, an experiment in freedom to test the ability of people to live together in freedom, respecting the rights and of others and expecting that their rights in turn will be respected. I've said on a number of occasions that I can't help but believe, you can call it mysticism if you will, that God must have placed this land here between the oceans to be found by a certain kind of people, and a kind only in one thing, that whatever corner of the world they came from, they had the courage and the desire for freedom that went with it to uproot themselves and come to this strange land, beginning back when it was the most underdeveloped land in the world, and come here, leaving family, and come to a strange language and everything that went with that kind of a move. I think our vision of liberty is reinforced by shared symbols and experiences. Perhaps the strongest image of them all is the one that for millions of Americans was their first glimpse of America, that Statue of Liberty. The turn of the century, America was blessed with an influx of new immigrants who became citizens and played a significant role in building our country and protecting our freedom. Most of them entered under the shadow of the statue and were processed into the United States, as we know, through Ellis Island. Between 1892 and its closing in 1954, Ellis Island was the clearinghouse for millions of immigrants. Many who passed through the gates at Ellis Island had little more than what they carried with them. Yet they possessed a determination that with hard work and freedom, they would live a better life, and their children even more so. They were captured by the American dream, and both they and their new country were the better for their efforts and their faith, because they not only came here for something, but just as they came from every corner of the world, they brought something from every corner of the world to this great melting pot. And maybe in so doing, they proved how artificial are the prejudices and the hatreds that exist in the world, because we proved that we could all mix. And I don't know, to this day, one of the first questions you usually ask when you make friends with someone is, what is their ancestry? What country? And it used to be that they'd say Irish or German or French or whatever, and now they have to say three or four names because they've mixed. In fact, I've got three in mind: Irish, English, and Scotch. And our children can add a fourth. They'll have another country now. But today we declare that no longer functioning as it is, the Ellis Island, as a processing center, its contribution is not over. It remains a unifying memory for millions of our citizens. Our goal is to restore Ellis Island in time for the celebration of the centennial of the Statue of Liberty, beginning on July 4th, 1984. I might add one note. The Statue of Liberty was built with funds contributed by people from all over France. Its base was constructed in part with contributions from American schoolchildren. Restoring Ellis Island, another monument to our freedom, is worthy of the same kind of heartfelt voluntary effort. Both the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island can help us all remember how grateful we should be to live in this land of freedom and goodwill. You know, I know that there's one here, or have you already told them, that Lee's parents came to this country in search of that kind of opportunity through Ellis Island. And he certainly has proven what America has to offer for those immigrants, or for the sons and the daughters of them. So now I just thank you all for being here with us today to help launch this campaign.
And thank you very
much. God bless you
all.
More about the renovation of the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island after this message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself, and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit ReaganFoundation.org/give. That's ReaganFoundation.org/give.
Now, back to the story. So, what do these three things have in common? Number one, American Express offered to make a donation of a penny for each use of one of its credit cards for 3 months. Number two, Kellogg's offered to make a 50-cent contribution for each two box tops returned from Corn Flakes and Crispix cereals. And number three, U.S. Tobacco installed a coin canister display for donations at point of purchase. All three of these things were part of the private sector initiatives created by Lee Iacocca, then chairman of the Chrysler Corporation, to raise the estimated $87 million needed to complete the renovation of the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island. The results from these promotions? Well, American Express expected an 18% increase in use, but in fact posted a 28% increase. Kellogg's received 175,000 replies from its Box Top campaign, and more than 8,000 convenience stores in America elected to feature the U.S. tobacco canister. So the partnership of the National Park Service and the Statue of Liberty Ellis Island Foundation ended up being the most successful public-private partnership in American history. As for the statue, the challenges to bring her to life were daunting. In addition to replacing the torch, the viewing area was dilapidated. The structural skeleton in the shoulder area was collapsing. A new emergency elevator was required. Antiquated stairways were too narrow, interior and exterior lighting was inadequate, and so on. One massive challenge involved the iron armature, or the strapping, made of more than 2,000 2-inch-wide iron bars that crisscrossed inside the statue. In some places, at least half the thickness of the iron was gone. The iron needed to be replaced by a modern alloy, a sturdier metal. The call went out to an army of architects, historians, engineers, and almost 1,000 laborers to renew the Statue of Liberty. French craftsmen were commissioned and relied entirely upon Bartholdi's original plans. 10 artisans from Les Metalliers Champenois, based in Rennes, France, came to America to work on the torch in a workshop at the statue's base on Liberty Island in New York Harbor, open to the public. So on the 4th of July, 1986, about 4 years later, the statue was reopened. Here are the president's beautiful remarks celebrating the immigrant's journey to America. Let's listen.
While we applaud those immigrants who stand out, whose contributions are easily discerned, we know that America's heroes are also those whose names are remembered by only a few. Many of them passed through this harbor, went by this lady, looked up at her torch, which we light tonight in their honor. They were the men and women who labored all their lives so that their children would be well fed, clothed, and educated. The families that went through great hardship yet kept their honor, their dignity, and their faith in God. They passed on to their children those values, values that define civilization and are the prerequisites of human progress. They worked in our factories, on ships and railroads, in stores, and on road construction crews. They were teachers, lumberjacks, seamstresses, and journalists. They came from every land. What was it that tied these profoundly different people together? What was it that made them not a gathering of individuals, but a nation? That bond that held them together as it holds us together tonight, that bond that has stood every test and travail, is found deep in our national consciousness, an abiding love of liberty. For love of liberty, our forebears, colonists few in number and with little to defend themselves, fought a war for independence with what was then the world's most powerful empire. For love of liberty, those who came before us tamed a vast wilderness and braved hardships which at times were beyond the limits of human endurance. For love of liberty, a bloody and heart-wrenching civil war was fought. And for love of liberty, Americans championed and still champion, even in times of peril, the cause of human freedom in far-off lands. The God who gave us life, Thomas Jefferson once proclaimed, gave us liberty at the same time. But like all of God's precious gifts, liberty must never be taken for granted. Tonight, we thank God for the many blessings He has bestowed on our land. We affirm our faithfulness in His rule and to our own ideals, and we pledge to keep all alive the dream that brought our forefathers and mothers to this brave new land. On this theme, the poet Emmett Lazarus, moved by this unique symbol of the love of liberty, wrote a very special dedication 100 years ago. The last few lines are ones we know so well. Set to the music of Irving Berlin, they take on tonight a special meaning.
Thank you.
We are the keepers of the flame of liberty. We hold it high tonight for the world to see, a beacon of hope, a light unto the nations. And so, with joy and celebration, and with a prayer that this lamp shall never be extinguished, I ask that you all join me in this symbolic act of faith, this lighting of Miss Liberty's torch.
Thank you for listening. For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Words to Live By podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of Words to Live By come out every Tuesday. Like what you hear? Check out our A Reagan Forum podcast featuring great speeches delivered at the Reagan Library. New episodes drop every Thursday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan 40 on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.